1 Peter chapter 5. Or your iPhones, whichever the case may be. And let's begin by reading 1 Peter 5, beginning in verse 8. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong and firm and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the strategies that Peter gives us to resist our enemy, our spiritual enemy. We thank you, Lord, that we can win in the battle that we face every day. We thank you, Lord, that there's freedom and that there's power available to us. And so we ask, and we're drawing upon that power today, God, as we look to your word and share some of the principles, God, that you give to us. So Lord, help us today. Anoint us, empower us with the help of your Holy Spirit. Get us out of the way. Get me out of the way. Help us to get ourselves out of the way so we might be able to receive the maximum amount, God, that you want us to receive. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, let me start by asking the question this morning. Have you ever found it hard to get some peace of mind? You ever had a difficult time shaking off discouragement in your life? Just nod your heads, you know. Yeah. Have you ever had a hard time just really navigating through life in general sometimes? Just navigating through this life that we live? Just found that inside it felt more like turmoil than it did peace? Yeah. Well, it's no wonder when you and I live in a war zone. We live in a war zone. Whether we like it or not, we are in a war. And a very serious war. And this particular war that we're in is cosmic in proportion. It involves God. It involves human beings. It involves angels and demons and principalities and powers and spiritual rulers. It's cosmic in proportion. And do you know where the front of the battle is? It's in our minds. It's in our heads. The battle rages where your thoughts are. And really, the battle started with Adam and Eve, and it's continued ever since. Adam and Eve, because they believed the serpent's lies, stopped believing in God. And if you think about it, that is the essence of sin, is to not believe in God. Not believing in God, the essence of sin. And to not believe God is really to ally with Satan, whom Jesus said is a murderer. From the beginning, and he calls us to have nothing to do with that, nothing to do with him. He's the liar. He's the father of lies, isn't he? And I like what John Piper says, that there's one thing for sure: we don't want Satan as an ally. He's treacherous. He's out to murder you with lies. And like I promised, we're continuing with some messages concerning the spiritual warfare of the Christian. And we said that there are three lessons in regard to spiritual warfare. Do you remember those lessons? There were three lessons. The first is be alert. The second is resist the devil. And the third is the God of all grace will strengthen you. Be alert, resist the devil, and the God of all grace will strengthen you. And last week we talked about some of the distractions that keep us from being alert from the spiritual realities that surround our lives. And this week we want to talk about how do we resist the devil? How do we resist our spiritual enemy? How do we do that effectively in our lives? Well, 1 Peter says, be self-controlled, be alert. Your enemy prowls around like a roaring lion for someone to devour. He says, resist him, standing firm in your faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are experiencing the same kinds of sufferings. He says, resist him. Avoid being devoured, essentially we could say. That's what the Greek word means. Devour. It means to swallow. It means to drink down. That's what that word means. And if you remember, we said that there were some misconceptions about the spiritual battle that we face, that we think a spiritual warfare is like a little dachshund yapping and nipping at our feet, right? We perceive spiritual warfare as an annoyance, but not really that dangerous. But Peter gives us a much, much more dangerous picture. He pictures a very large lion looking to swallow you in one big gulp. The devil wants to drink us down. He wants to drink you down and swallow you. And so it's important to understand that some of the areas of our lives where we need to resist. I want to share with you today three areas of conflict where we need to resist the devil. Three areas of conflict where we need to resist the devil. And the first of all, there's a battle going on for your mind. There's a battle going on for your mind. And like last week we said, in spiritual warfare, frontal attacks are rare. The enemy is not going to announce his attacks, right, in our lives. The enemy is going to come attack you in your mind. And the primary way that he attacks you in your minds is by telling you lies. He tells you lies. John 8:44 said that the devil is the father of lies. He is the father of lies. He doesn't know anything else but to lie. And one of the primary attacks of his is to lie to us about who God is and what God's provision is for us. Listen to what Pastor James MacDonald writes here. Satan mounts his mutiny against God through a deceitful stronghold. And this is the stronghold. God is untrustworthy. In subtle and not so subtle ways, he places God's heart on trial by whispering insidious lies. God is holding back on you. He wants you to jump through hoops in order to earn his love. God is stingy. He doesn't have your best interest in mind. You're better off trusting in yourself. Your resources and your functional saviors work better than waiting and trusting for him. And that's what the enemy does. He whispers all of those lies. And there are other lies that he whispers to you and me. He whispers deadly messages at our minds. God doesn't really love you. You are pathetic. Right? How could you think, here's a message, how could you think God could be on your side knowing what he knows about you? You can't trust God to help you. God is disappointed in you. You've let God down. That's the enemy's whisper to you. You've let God down. You're way too selfish and sinful for God's grace and forgiveness. God's grace and forgiveness are available to everybody else, but not to you. And that's what the enemy lies, whispers into our heads all the time. And if the devil had a phone, that's what he would text you. That's what he would text you. If the devil had a phone, that's what he would be texting you right this minute. God doesn't love you. You're too pathetic to receive his grace and forgiveness. You're too sinful. You're too far gone. You've disappointed him too much. You might as well give up. And that's what Satan would text each of us as Christians. And so the enemies will always try to cast doubt on in our minds about God's word and God's goodness and God's forgiveness. And again, let me give you an illustration. Let me take you back to the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve. The devil masqueraded as a serpent. You know the story, right? You know the account? And he threw out a question to the new couple, right? He said, "Did God really say? Did God really say what he said? Did God really say that? Can you really trust God when he said what he said? Did God really mean what he said? When he said what he said?" That's hard to say. Right? You see, we need to be alert and resist these lies, because the truth is the arms of Jesus are always wide open to those who seek forgiveness. Hello? That's the truth. The enemy tries to convince us that his lies are the truth. That's what the enemy tries to convince us. That the spiritual reality, though, is his lies bind us to fear, don't they? His lies bind us to despair. His lies bind us to hopelessness in our lives. Listen, we do have the ability to be saved and be forgiven. That's the truth. We can experience the ongoing love and the forgiveness of God in our lives. We can experience that in an ongoing fashion in our lives. We don't have to walk, this is for some of you, in condemnation. We don't have to walk in condemnation. We don't have to walk in guilt. We don't have to walk in shame. We can be forgiven. We can be set free from all the junk in our lives. We can. That's the truth. And the enemy will continue to say, "No, that's not the truth. That's not the truth. Let me tell you what really is true." So how do we resist all these lies? Well, one of the ways that we can resist the devil in our minds is to be more aware of our own thoughts. We can choose our own thoughts. We choose them every day, don't we? We're choosing our thoughts every day. And sometimes we walk around, though, glassy-eyed, and we're just unaware of the devil's attacks and the messages that are aimed at our minds. We're just completely unaware of those. We need to take charge of our minds. How many think that's a good thing to do? We need to take charge of our minds. What Joyce Meyer said is true. If we're passive and empty-headed, the devil will be happy to fill our minds with lies and poison our soul. It's true. He'll be happy to fill our minds up if we're not taking charge of our thoughts and filling up our minds with the things that are true, things that are good, things that are right. And so when we become more engaged with what we're thinking, we're better able to recognize, no, that's not the message from God. That's not a message from God. Right? That's not what God thinks of me. That God is not against me. God is not completely disappointed in me. I resist that thought, and I resist you, devil, for sending it my way. Amen? So we take control of our thoughts. We become more cognizant of our thinking and not be complacent and lethargic about our thoughts. That's how the enemy comes in. And so the battle is for our minds. And one of the strategies is pay more attention to what we're thinking. It's easy to check out, isn't it? It's easy to just check out, you know, and just space it out. How many space it out sometimes, right? Yeah, you don't want to admit that. Yeah, right. And so the battle's for our minds. Secondly, there's a battle for our appetites. Let me ask you a few questions. Let's just stop and ask a few questions. Is there anything wrong with food? Well, no. Food is good, right? Food is good. There's all kinds of good food. But when the devil gets involved, he takes one of our natural appetites and he pushes it beyond control. And then we become out of control with that particular appetite. Is there anything wrong with sleeping? No. Rest is good. We've been learning about that in small groups. Rest is good. He's designed you and me to sleep 6, 7, 8 hours a day. And when the devil stirs up your desires, he makes those desires go out of control. So that now all of a sudden, you're sleeping all the time. And then, you know, sleep turns into lethargy, turns into laziness. You become unproductive. You become useless. It's a natural desire pushed out of control. Is there anything wrong with TV? Well, some could make an argument that there are some things wrong with TV, but essentially, in and of itself, TV is not wrong. How many believe that? It's not wrong. But what if you're watching 7, 8 hours of TV to the exclusion of your family? What if you're watching 7 and 8 hours of TV to the exclusion of your friends, to the exclusion of your relationship with God, with your relationship with Christ? Then it becomes a desire pushed out of control. Now, is there anything wrong with sex? Nobody wants to answer that. Come on. No. Because God created sex for a place and a purpose. God created sex to be enjoyed by a man and a woman in a covenant marital relationship. Amen. Mm-hmm. And the enemy wants to take that desire and take it outside of the boundaries where God made it. And he wants to stir up that God-given desire that each of us has and have that desire get control of us rather than us being in charge and controlling our desires. And pornography is a great example of this. It's a great example of this. According to recent research done by Josh McDowell, I love Josh McDowell. He's still around. He's still pressing, you know, cultural issues and addressing those issues when no one else will. And he has done a lot of research. He is a researcher. And he says that 1 out of every 4 internet searches is for porn. 1 out of every 4 searches is for pornography. Okay? Every second, 30,000 people are viewing pornography. Every second, 30,000 people are viewing pornography. And the average age of first exposure to pornography is 11 years old. 11 years old. Okay? But this is a global problem. This is a problem in the church. Because the Barna Group just revealed a study back in 2014 in the United States that 64% of self-identified Christian men and 15% of self-identified Christian women view pornography at least once a month. 65% of men and 15% of women view pornography at least once a month. Once a month. And so, you know, so often we mention this word spiritual, this phrase spiritual warfare, and we think it's something otherworldly. We think that it's something third world countries experience, you know, with real demonic manifestations, you know. But we're talking about a real battle, folks. We're talking about real battles. And this is what the enemy does in our lives. He attacks our minds, he attacks our appetites and our desires by pushing them out of control, and his goal is for our desires to enslave us. That's what his goal is for our desires to enslave us. And so I want to say it again. Satan wants to take our desires that are good and push us so that they become our masters. And then he tells us this lie. You'll never get free of this obsession or this addiction. You'll never be able to get free of it. Just fill in the blank. Whatever you find yourself being pushed out of control with, you'll never get free of blank. And that's what the enemy tells us in our lives. And I want to say this morning, that this is a lie from the pit of hell. Because Jesus has salvation for us. Jesus has freedom for us. Amen? All right? Jesus has life for you and me. And we can be free from these things. We don't have to be bound by these things. In fact, Paul tells us this in Romans 6, that we as Christians can count ourselves dead to sin. That we are to consider ourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. That's what Paul says. And that now that we're under grace, that our sinful desires are no longer our masters as Christians. They don't have to be our masters, our desires. We can be in charge and control by the power of the Holy Spirit of our desires. And there's freedom for you. And there's freedom for me. And freedom from desires pushed out of control. Freedom from that. And so the battle is for our minds. And the battle's for our desires. That's where the battle rages. And thirdly, there's a battle for our emotions. Now, few would argue that our emotions sometimes get us into trouble. Your emotions ever get you into trouble? Uh-huh. You see, like our appetites, our emotions are God-given. Emotions are good. But they can easily move us in a bad direction, can't they? Just consider for a moment the makeup of the word. Emotions. Right? Emotions move us. They either move us toward God or they move us away from God. That's what our emotions do. They move us toward God or they move us away from God. And this is what the devil wants to do in your life and my life. He wants to use our emotions to move us away from God. And when we move away from God, we're always put in spiritual danger. I think that's important to say again. When we move away from God, we always place ourselves in spiritual danger when we move away from Him. And so if you would, turn to Ephesians chapter 4. There's a couple of verses I want to share with you. First, Ephesians 4. Is everybody doing okay? Ephesians 4, 26. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry. Do not give the devil a foothold. Anyone who's been stealing must steal no longer, but must work doing something useful with their hands, own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what's helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness and rage and anger and brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Now, of all those things that are listed there in that passage, all those things that grieve the Holy Spirit, all of those are emotionally driven responses. They're emotionally driven responses. And the enemy moves in on our emotional responses and attempts to get a foothold on your life and my life. He attempts to get a foothold. And when he does, when he gets a foothold, it's like you're on a short chain. Okay? You want to go further in your spiritual walk with Jesus. You want to pursue God further, but you're caught up short by the enemy because he's come in. For instance, when anger isn't resolved quickly in our lives, when we refuse to resolve it, we excuse it, or we sleep on it, or we let it get hotter and hotter and hotter in our lives, the devil gets a foothold, and now all of a sudden, you have a pattern of rage. You have a consistent pattern where you're always exploding. You're always angry about something. Or it doesn't take you much at all to become angry in your life. When you allow unforgiveness to run rampant in your life, the devil gets a foothold. And now you become a bitter person who holds grudges. And you have a hard time keeping friendships. You see, because when we're consumed with bitterness and unforgiveness, the devil moves in and he seeks to swallow and to diminish our lives. He seeks to swallow us right up when we hold on to that bitterness in our lives. Is this making sense to you? And this happens all the time. We're treated wrongly. We're treated poorly by somebody, a family member, a friend, an employer. And we're lying awake at night and we're fuming. Maybe it just happens to me, I don't know. And we're angry and we're thinking how justified we are wanting to see some type of revenge on this person. And so when we get truly wrong, the devil comes in and he says, you just need to let your emotional responses go. Just let it go. Just let them go. You know, take full vent, the enemy says. Let your emotions take over your life because you were grievously wronged. And you deserve to let your emotional responses take control and drive your life. You see, these are very real situations, aren't they, in our lives, where the devil seeks to influence and to twist and to swallow us up. You see, the enemy is after your emotional life. He's after it. And he's going to cripple us by convincing us that we need to hold on to our hurt. We need to hold on to it. Just hold on. And that's what the enemy tries to do. And by doing that, he puts us on a short chain. He puts us on a short chain. And it diminishes our faith. It diminishes our relationship with God and with Jesus. But Jesus gives us some strategies. You're thinking, where's the good news in this message today? Jesus gives us some strategies. In Luke chapter 6, he says this. He says, but I tell you who hear me, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. What? Really? Right? Now, it's not easy to do that, is it? It's hard. It's work to do that. Your heart is saying, I deserve to be mad. I deserve to be bitter. I deserve some payback, right? That's what your heart is saying. Jesus is saying, if you think that, you're falling prey to the attack of the enemy. You're falling prey to the enemy. So here's a strategy. When you feel like your emotions are being attacked by the devil. And I want to be clear about this. Because some people can really confuse this. People are not the devil. Hello? People are not the devil. Don't make the mistake of thinking that people are your enemies in this life. You will walk around miserable if you think that all the people around you are your enemies. People are not the enemy. But when you find one of your relationships blowing up, and you know what I'm talking about, pray for them. This is Jesus' strategy. Pray for them. Pray for those who've hurt you. Look for an opportunity to do good to them and to speak well of those people that have wronged you. Look for an opportunity to speak well about them. And this breaks the power of anger in your life. This breaks the power of bitterness in our lives. And nothing may ever change but your willingness to say to the Lord, I want your way, not the enemy's way. I want to be obedient to you and not to the lies that I'm being told. I'm going to follow your ways of forgiving. By forgiving, I'm going to let go of my hurt. I'm going to choose to follow your ways, Jesus. And if anything, that's what comes out of it. But there's another strategy that Jesus gives us, and it's found in Mark chapter 1. You don't have to turn there. Let me just give you the scenario here. Jesus, one day, was in the synagogue teaching, which was his habit. He went into the synagogues to teach, and the religious leaders were astounded. They were intrigued by all the wisdom that he had. And as he was teaching, all of a sudden, a man who was demonically possessed came in and began screaming. And he wouldn't stop. He just kept screaming and screaming. And Jesus did this. Jesus just turns and he sternly says, "Be quiet and come out of him." And the scripture says that when he sternly said that, the evil spirit shook the man violently, and then it came out of him with a shriek. Just like that. "Be quiet and come out of him." That's all he said. Now, we like techniques, don't we? How many like steps? You like, you know, if we like to, we like manuals. Some of us like manuals. Many of us like manuals. All you OCD people like manuals. We want the three easy steps to combating the enemy's attacks. We want three easy. Tell me the three things that I need to do every time to combat the enemy in spiritual attacks. But Jesus doesn't give us any. There's no incantation, right? There's no ritual. There's no props of any kind. There's just simply an authoritative word of command that seems to settle the matter. Be quiet. Come out of him. Be quiet. Come out of it. Now, what's interesting is this: that Jesus uses a word, phoimo, which means to muzzle. And so Jesus was saying, essentially, be muzzled to this man who was causing so much commotion. Be muzzled. It's a common way of just saying, shut up. That's what he was saying, shut up. And I like R.T. France, who's a scholar and a writer. He said, "The principal way, the first and the most important thing we need to do in resisting the devil is to say, stop it. Stop it. Just stop it. I'm not listening to your lies anymore. Shut up. Shut up. I'm not going to stir the pot of my emotions anymore. I'm not going to pay attention to how you're trying to turn me against Jesus. I want you to shut up, devil." And if there's one thing that we can do to get rid of the demonic influence and attacks, this would be it. Muzzle him. Shut him up. And tell him to say, "No, we're not doing this game. We're not playing this game." We have to listen. Let's finish this up because we want to pray this morning. We have to say no to Satan and yes to Jesus. That's part of the battle, right? That's the strategy for the battle. We've got to say no to Satan and yes to Jesus. To win our spiritual battle, we need to say yes to Jesus. Yes, I'm going to agree with you. Yes, I'm going to agree with what your word says. Yes, I'm going to agree with what you're speaking to me, what you believe about me, how you think about me, how you love me, how you're for me, how you want to favor me, how you go before me, come up behind me. We have to begin to say yes to those things. And we need to tell the devil, we need to say, just shut up. I'm not listening to you anymore. I'm not going to believe these lies anymore. Amen? Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour, to swallow. resist him, standing firm in the faith because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kinds of sufferings. Be alert. Resist the devil. Be alert. Muzzle him. Muzzle him. Tell him, I'm not going to entertain these lies. And you just need to be quiet. And then begin to fill your mind with the thoughts of God, the Word of God. Amen? Next week, I didn't really lie to you. I said it was a 2-part series. Now it's a 3-part series. The God of all grace will strengthen you next week. Let's pray. Lord, there is power in the name of Jesus. And for those of us who've been listening to lies, we've been falling prey to the enemy. He's kept us on a short chain of anger or bitterness or unforgiveness. I pray, God, that you would just move into their lives and allow them to be able to embrace the strategies that would bring freedom to their lives. So I want to ask this morning, and just put your hand up and put it back down. You may have realized today that the enemy has kind of moved in and put you on a short chain. It's kept you from really pressing in more to God. You maybe feel like that in an area of your life. Maybe it's your mind, maybe it's your emotions, maybe it's your desires, your appetites. Just put your hand up, put it back down. That's me. Yeah. God, we speak the truth today, and the truth is that you want us to walk in complete freedom in you. That we're not to be driven by lies or our emotions or our desires. And so, Lord, I speak freedom today to all of us. Freedom in the name of Jesus. Set the captives free. We pray, God, that addictions would be broken in the name of Jesus by the power of the Spirit right now. Turmoil emotionally, God, would be broken. In Jesus' name, we say yes to you, Lord. We resist the enemy. We say, be quiet. No more lies. Go away. And I pray, God, that really true freedom would come today to many. Without sharing what you need this morning, who would stand and say, I want to experience true and lasting freedom. I want to walk in freedom. Who would stand today? I want to walk in freedom. I want to walk in it. Who would stand today? I want to walk in freedom. Who would stand with me? I want to walk in freedom. We don't know what you're struggling with. But God, bring freedom to us. Bring freedom in our hearts. Bring freedom in our minds. Bring freedom in our emotions. We break those chains the enemy has wrapped around us. Those lies that we've believed in, God, and we say we don't believe in them any longer. No longer will we believe in those lies. No longer, Lord. We believe in you and your grace and your power and your forgiveness and your goodness and your salvation and your redemption and your love and your kindness and your power, God. We believe in you, Lord. We trust in you. We speak of you. We'll talk of you, Lord. Think of you. Set us free today. Set us free. And we just open our hands to you right now. We receive freedom. We receive it. We receive a release from those things that have bound us up, those thoughts that have bound us up. We receive the truth that you love us, that you're for us and not against us. And we walk out today receiving and walking out today full of freedom. And we thank you for this morning and all that you are doing to bring us to new places in our faith. And we say it's yes and amen to all of them. All of them, Lord. All of your work we say yes and amen to. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Go in freedom. But if you want some more deeper prayer about some issue in your life that you want to get free of, so, and you want some deeper prayer, I just invite you to come to the front. Come to the front, and we'll have some pray with you. And we'll seek that together, okay? So you want some deeper prayer on an issue in your life, don't hesitate, all right? Don't walk out if you need it. Come and get it. Amen? Be blessed.